This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Thanks for coming out, guys. It's a beautiful summer day. I just really appreciate you coming out, that I'm not standing here by myself tonight. I'm really excited about tonight. Let me go ahead and open up in prayer, all right? Father, we just come to you. We bring this evening to you. And Jesus, you're in charge. You're the king. You're the lead pastor here, and we submit to that. We just want to do what you're doing and let your spirit move and work amongst us tonight and let some wonderful things happen tonight. And I just pray that we would just walk with you and be sensitive to the Spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight's not really going to be much of like a sermon or a message. It's going to be a little bit more of maybe a talk and talk about some things, how some of this stuff works. And then we're going to offer at the end of this opportunity, if you want to stay and pray over what we're talking about, then you're totally welcome to do that. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, that's totally fine, or you have to go. Let me put on here kind of where we're at. I'm picking up where I left off 2 weeks ago. So let me put it on the board here. I had body, soul, spirit on here last week. I'm going to draw this in a square. That's body. See how cute body is? Look at that. This represents our body. And on here with body, our physical body, we had the genogram, you know, where we come from. So we start off with body. We are physical bodies. And we talk a lot about identity. And the two main forces that have a powerful say in who I am as a physical body are my parents, right? And so for the podcast, I have on here a one little circle that has a face on it representing body. So that's what that is. And so now I'm going to go on and I'm going to draw another circle here or a square. And this out of Genesis 2:7, it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, giving him a body. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, giving him a spirit." And it says, "And then man became a living soul." So we have body, soul, spirit. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. You know, we had our parents and our environment and this genogram coming down into our person, our physical person. And then over here in the spiritual realm, we had God, we had Satan, we had the angels, we had the demonic realm here, representing, you know, the spiritual realm. And the area of the soul lives in between both worlds at the same time. Like the person that we are inside our bodies lives in the physical and lives in the spiritual at the same time. So I'm going to go ahead and put our little heart here. And this is your heart as you grow up, your soul, what the Bible calls the heart. And so this is kind of what I'm working off of tonight. It's body, soul, and spirit. So I'm just really flying through this just to get to where I'm at or where I'm going to go. So early in life, we learn to adapt. We learn to adjust. We learn to manipulate, you know, our situation. It's like a very, very natural thing. We learn that we can manipulate people in that if there's something I want, that I can manipulate things to get that thing. I also learned that if there's something I want to avoid, that I can manipulate to avoid getting what I don't want, right? That makes a lot of sense. And we get really good at it. So we learn to charm, we learn to bluff, we learn to hide, you know, to kind of navigate, manipulate our circumstances. To put it plainly, we learn to kind of operate to make ourselves look and feel good. That's kind of our mode of operation as we grow up. You know, how can I get what I want? How can I avoid what I don't want? That kind of thing. And at some point in our lives, and we can go through all of our stories here. I've heard many stories that are represented here. We would find that at some point we receive a wound in our hearts. And I'm just going to put one. Many of us have had, you know, several, you know, major wounds, big wounds, right? It could be like a real big trauma, like big T trauma. It could be small T trauma, like death by a thousand cuts kind of thing, right? So For the podcast again, I have body, soul, spirit written on this board, just three squares in a row. And in the middle of the center one, I have heart with a little broken heart in it. And this drawing is so amazing that this guy up here must be an incredible artist. Everybody's amazed. All right, so that's what I have, and I have a big broken heart. Just imagine a broken heart, right? Okay, so I don't know if you can think of how old you were or where you were when you realized that we no longer live in Eden, that we don't live in a perfect world, right? And if you think back, when did you realize we live in a broken world, that things aren't all good, right? It doesn't take much for me to think back on that time in my life when I kind of realized, whoa, this isn't, you know, not only is it not a really good world completely, but there's some serious darkness in this world, right? And we have to come to terms with that. You know, I remember when I shuffled out to school, I wasn't really aware that I was super skinny until I went to school, right? And then it was made very clear to me fairly quickly that I had an issue with weight. I didn't know that until I went there. And there was other things about me I didn't realize till I went to school, and it was clearly pointed out, all these flaws about myself, that I wasn't just okay to show up as I am. You know, here I am in life. This is the body that I'm operating out of, and that wasn't good enough. You know, I had all these problems and all these comments, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm not measuring up the way other people think I should, that kind of thing. And this can be very painful for a lot of us, right? I heard a lady say the other day, she said, for the last 20 minutes, I've been comparing my body to every other woman around me. And she said, oh, did I say the last 20 minutes? I meant 20 years, right? That's tough. All right, so let's just say you're about 10 years old. We'll write that here. 10 years old, right? That's when that wound occurred. And what happens in our bodies when we have a wound? You know, we have a reaction to it. We protect it. We surround it. There's this response to this wound. So let's just say at 10 years old, you had this wound, whatever. You could be thinking of yours. So when we're hurt, we receive a heart wound, usually through our parents, right? Usually through these people that we trust. We are wounded in about, like, approximately two levels. I'm just going to make this really simple for myself. I need things really simple. So let's just say you're wounded on two levels. The first level is in the area of relationships, right? This way, right? And most psychologists, most recovery material will say that all of our wounds come from relationships. I would say that's really hard to argue with, that all of our heart wounds come from relationships. The second way we're wounded is within ourselves, in our internal world, what we begin to tell ourselves. That's the second wound, right? Not bad enough, we received the first wound. But the second is the one that really does some serious damage, is in the things I begin to tell myself about myself. Now let me show you this little model here. We have a wound, right? And then out of that wound, I have an I am statement, dot, dot, dot. Something about me, you can fill in the blank, right? I am worthless. I am unlovable, right? I am ugly. I am inadequate. You can just go on and on about this, but out of this wounding will come some kind of I am statement, some kind of statement about yourself. Out of this I am statement will come some kind of internal vow. This is a response to this wounding, like boom, coming up out of this. And out of that vow will be an I will statement. Because I am unlovable, I will. And there's a vow made, like something that comes out of that. And out of that I will come a strategy of how you're going to fulfill that vow. How you're going to pull that off, right? And out of that strategy is going to come a persona, a person, a protective personality that's going to carry out this plan. Does that make sense? You guys see that? It's pretty cool. All right, really quick example. So when I grew up, okay, just give you an example, okay? This isn't like a poor me thing, okay? When I grew up, it was during the 70s. So my parents, they were doing drugs and doing their thing and having sex with everybody, and it was just a hippie time. The flower child, and everybody had long hair and bell bottoms, and it was just this cool dude thing. Everyone was smoking grass and bongs all over the house, and it was just one of those kind of things. So we were kind of free range children growing up. We just kind of ran around with long greasy hair. Don't have to brush your teeth, you don't have to be clean, you don't have to go to bed, you don't have to go to school. We're just like, it's just free love, right? If it feels good, do it. That was the motto of our house. So we kind of grew up, you know, all hours of the night, people coming in and out, just this crazy drug scene. So it wasn't like they were trying to be abusive. You know, it was just this free love, druggy world that we grew up in, right? So no training, no schooling, no discipline, no backbone. I grew up kind of like, if I can just say in my own words, just kind of this little pansy, right? This little frightened boy with no backbone, no discipline, no training. And this was one of many, but I had this deep heart wound that said, you know, I'm not worth investing in. Like, all the kids around me in their homes, man, their parents were all over them about school, cleanliness, what time they were at home, you know, all these really strict things. We witnessed all that, you know, and I just wasn't worth investing in. I wasn't worth training. I wasn't worth correcting. I wasn't worth, hey, go brush your teeth. Those are your teeth, dude. Like, you got to clean them. You know, none of that kind of stuff. So I just kind of grew up with this heart belief that said, I am inadequate. Okay? I could say, I can't was like a heart message. Like, I'm inadequate as a person. It wasn't, I can learn. It wasn't, I can figure it out or I can be trained. It was, I can't. Like, I'm broken, like, I'm inadequate as a person. Like, me, I'm inadequate. So you show up, and there's a hard task, there's things to figure out. I can't figure that out. I don't know how to do it. I can't do it. So it was just this deep sense of inadequacy that was right there, and it was deep within me. And so that's kind of the wound I carried. And so I showed up as a young man to get a job, and I showed up at a night crew. And I've told this story before. I showed up at this night crew to get a job. I needed the job. And I showed up, and there's these dudes that look like Hercules and the brothers of Hercules. And they're all like cut off sleeves, had these big muscles. They're just pouring sweat. And they're in this back room, and they're unloading these trucks. Like, I mean, they're just heaving these boxes, right? I had never seen people work like that in my entire life. And I was saying that it looked like someone must have be trapped under all the boxes, like, the way they were doing this. I'm like, wow, who's buried under there? This must be really important. But that's just how they worked, right? So I show up, you know, here's a new guy, and these dudes are just working like mad. And right away, this rises up. Like, I can't do that. And they had a whole system of how they did it, kind of this elaborate way that they unloaded trucks and divvied it out in the back of this big freight warehouse. And it was just like this big Herculean effort. And right away, I'm like, here comes the pressure. And this thing come out of me just as clear as day. I can't do that. I can't figure it out. I can't learn it. I can't be trained. I just can't. So, you know, I'm inadequate means, you know, I will not try. I will not go in there and get my hands dirty because I can't do it. And my strategy was to quit. I'm just going to quit. So I actually walked over to the boss, and I was on my way to tell him this job's not going to work out for me. And I was really disappointed inside. I really was feeling the disappointment about me, like, I'm unable to do this. I was really sad because I worked hard to get the job. And right when I was walking over to the boss, he walks over to me with this giant bottle and goes, hey, dude, looks like you're struggling over there. You know, stick your hand out. And he unloaded this handful of amphetamines in my hand. Just bam, bam, bam. He had this giant bottle. Looked like a little barrel, you know. And so here's my strategy, right? And all of a sudden, he goes, just take a few of those things. Put the rest in your pocket, dude. Just get to work. Come on, you got it. And I'd never heard anyone say, you got it. I'd never had anyone invest in me and say, hey, here's what's going on within you. Here's an answer. Come on, join us. I was like, wow, I can do this. So I chugged a big, you know, handful of those things. And within a half an hour, guess what? Boom. Bam. Like, I'm like Popeye. Like, literally, this transformation, the lights came on, these beamers came on, my mind went to work. I was alive like I'd never been alive. Guys, I'm telling you, it was like this crazy transformation that happened to me. It was just like almost like a spiritual experience, right, for me. I had never experienced being able to do something in my entire life up to this point, never having a backbone, never having anyone come and say, I'm going to invest in you. And here was this moment. You see how this works? Suddenly, my strategy changed from I will quit to I will take pills, right? I will have energy. So all of a sudden, guys, I went into this night and I began joining these guys and I'm working and I'm sweating and we're singing the same songs and we're saying these foul things and we're putting each other down like the way men do, as a form of camaraderie, making fun of each other's parents and saying these awful things, and it felt so good. And I want you to know, within a few months, you know, my sleeves were chopped off, I'm in there sweating, and I'm running the blasted crew. They put me in charge of it, and I ran night crews for many years as a job. See this persona? I became night crew man. Right? I became this guy. Guys, I want you to know it was powerful. You walk into my realm, now here I am, cut off sleeves and sweaty. Now you're in my world. Come on in. Move faster. Right? I mean, I was just this jerk, like complete jerk, right? Guys would say, man, you're kind of a jerk. I'm like, well, you can say that as long as your hands are moving, right? Move your hands. Like, I was this guy. Right? So you guys kind of get it, right? So I became this imposter without even really realizing I was an imposter. I knew it down inside. I became this counterfeit. I was wearing this disguise. And I say on here that it's not like I'm telling a lie. I'm living a lie. Because this entire thing is based on this strategy, right? What's going down underneath, right? This same thing's right here, right? But I'm living this dream I'm living, this thing, man. I'm this guy. I'm this person. I am fueled, right? And we used to order these pills online and get these big shipments in and sit around, you know, one of our houses and divvy them all up, talk about who wasn't, you know, cutting it at the job and all these things and be real hard on people. It was a different, very different world. All right, these protective personalities can emerge from our own personal need for worth. They can emerge from our need for love, right? I need love. If your heart wound is I am unlovable, therefore I will. Here's how I'm going to get love. Here's the strategy of how I'm going to pull that off. And then here's the persona that's going to carry that plan out, right? I'm unimportant in the world. I'm not respected. If that's a heart wound, I'm disrespected. Like, I don't have respect. Therefore, I will gain respect, or I will hide from the world. You know, whatever this is, and here's my strategy, right? I'm going to become a top performer, whatever it is, and then here's the persona that's going to carry out my plan. You can go on and on with these things. These things, these personas, are there in place to help us get what we want and avoid what we don't want. Does that sound familiar? Like, we're really good at that. And one of the things about these protective personalities, or the false self, you know, in almost any type of psychology you study, you go into, you know, Indian type teachings and, you know, Buddhist and Christianity and Catholic teachings, and you go to almost any kind of these teachings of healing ourselves, and you're going to see some form of false self teaching. You're going to see some form of this model arise in whatever way. So one of the things about this protective personality is that it doesn't need God, right? it doesn't need God. I have my own plan. I have my own strategy. I don't need to lean on God. I don't need to know who He is. I mean, I can go to church. You know, how many people are coming to church, and who we're seeing and who we're meeting and who we're rubbing shoulders with is our protective personalities or their protective personalities, right? Jesus was super, super good at exposing people's false self. He would call them out, right? He would say, you know, guys, you clean the outside of the cup, but what about the inside? What's going on in the inside? Christianity, it's so amazing because it's an inside-out thing. There isn't anything like it on earth. Ephesians talks about us laying down this false front and taking on the new, right? Brennan Manning had a quote, I should have wrote it down, said something like this: be who you is, because if you ain't who you is, then you is who you ain't. Something like that, right? I don't know if that's exactly right, but it was something like that. So, who do you think God wants to have a relationship with? You think He wants to have a relationship with the false self, this persona? Or do you think He wants to have a relationship with you? Right? Like, this is really cool stuff. Trusting in a protective personality or a false self is very similar to trusting in the mafia, right? For your protection. Because they'll do the job. It'll get done, but at a price, right? And if you want out from under this thing, you know, it's not going to be easy. And there'll be a price to pay. And those of us here that have dealt with this issue in their lives know exactly what I'm talking about. This is tough stuff. All four Gospels have some form of, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. Right? You have to die in order to live. Like, there's some form of this in all four Gospels, this concept of letting go of what you're trying to do to save yourself, right? And letting Him do the work of saving you. Pretty cool stuff. All right, I got a list. I don't normally read lists, but I got a little list because I really want this to be for us tonight. Like I said, this isn't really a sermon. So here's kind of a list of some of these protective personalities. And you just see if there's any of these that resonate with you, right? The doormat, right? You know, how would that emerge? Like, I am worthless, therefore I will not confront, not step up to the plate, not be called out, not bring attention to myself. So my strategy is to go hide, stay on my phone, stay in my room, you know, whatever it is. And this persona is, I'm going to be a doormat. And when people see how submissive I am, maybe they'll be kind to me and love me. Maybe they'll see loyalty in being a doormat, then I'll win them, right? That kind of stuff. The hero, the martyr, Mr. and Mrs. Nice, right? The pleaser, the rescuer, super servant, right? That's a big one for church people, right? We love the super servant, the overachiever, the don't mess with me. That was a big one for me, where I'm like all flexing and chopping my sleeves off and running around the back room, throwing boxes of Fruit Loops around like I'm being this real big man, right? And it's weird because our protective personalities are oftentimes the very opposite of what we really are inside, right? I'm back there screaming and flexing and sweating, but you guys remember who walked back there. You guys know who that guy really is. He's the very opposite of what I was portraying on the outside, right? Confusion, invisible, the I'm okay, the I'm numb, like going numb is a protective personality. Perfectionist, hard worker, lazy, being a bully, control, crazy, being crazy. Independence, scapegoat, the victim, being funny, being the critic. Those are just some of many, many, many protective personalities that I listed off. Okay, so I asked Darcy. Darcy's been doing a lot of work. Her journey is powerful. Her journey in learning who she is in Christ has just been such a powerful journey. I'm so encouraged by it. She's been coming in and helping us do some lay counseling and walking some people through this. And she has actually walked this model out with people, with me, and we've partnered in actually watching this process happen. And she herself has been through this process. I asked her to come share a little bit about her experience in that. Let's give her a hand. All right.
Hello.
My protective personality's name is Independence. She is something that my husband has pointed out a few times. I didn't really know what her name was. It was just this face that I made. And I'm going to try to make the face for you. It's something like this. So when I'm feeling like independence is protecting me, then I'm feeling belligerent and inflexible and uncooperative and not willing to accommodate anyone. The thoughts that I'm thinking when independence is protecting me are, I don't have to listen to you. Your input has no sway on me whatsoever. I don't need you, and you are irrelevant to me. When independence takes over for me is when I feel somebody trying to control me, and I feel that my thoughts or emotions or feelings about the subject aren't going to be considered, or basically when I feel irrelevant. So I don't think there was any particular event for me that made independence take over. It was just a series of little hurts. But my I am statement was, I am not worth protecting. Now I realize that I don't really even register hurt anymore. I just go straight to belligerence when independence takes over. I think it's really interesting that it's not painful to talk about it. And I think that's because of all the time we've spent here at Journey, you know, like listening to the podcast over and over and coming on Sunday nights, and just all of that truth about identity has been like seeping into my heart, and I'm believing it. And so my heart knows I'm accepted now, so it's not as painful to look at those questionable things about myself, because I'm just not afraid, because I know that I'm accepted no matter what. I'm not ashamed of independence. I kind of actually still admire her, and I can see how that she could be repurposed to be a person that could, a part of me that could just keep going in the face of rejection like the apostles, you know. But I don't want independence to be on point anymore, because I no longer want to tell the people that I love that I think they're irrelevant, even when I'm hurt. Sometimes independence takes over for me and I don't realize that it's happened. And so some of the like red flags for me are noticing that I'm belligerent, or I'm treating other people like they're irrelevant, or feeling hurt, feeling like I'm irrelevant. Also, circular thinking is a sign to me. Like, if I keep getting to a certain impasse and trying to rethink things, it's usually a statement like, but so-and-so is important, you know, as if I'm not important, and then I can't get past that place because I know that doesn't line up with the gospel. Like, I actually am accepted, I am important, so I just sort of keep getting to the same spot over and over and over, and it's just a red flag for me that, hey, something happened, I'm not acting the way that I believe is right. And so when I need to talk independence down, so, you know, because, like, independence is a part of me. I like her still. I just don't want her to be the upfront personality anymore. So what that looks like is just recognizing that something happened and praying and telling Jesus, I don't want to act this way. You know, I don't want to have this be the way I'm operating. And then talking about the emotion with someone that got me there.
So you've sat in on some of the sessions where you've watched people actually be willing to ask their protective personality to step aside, stand down. I'm going to trust in my higher power. I'm going to trust in Jesus. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit. He's got me now. He's going to protect me. And you've watched that transfer happen. What was that like? What did you witness that way?
I see a visual transformation come over people's faces of peace. Like, there's anxiety and tension in their face, and it just goes away. It's like quick, just sort of melts away, and there's peace there instead.
Wow, that's super cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You guys give her a hand. Isn't that cool? Thank you. That's so awesome. All right, now, remember, we were hurt on two levels, relational and our internal world, our relationship with ourselves, still relational, right? So our healing is going to come on two levels. Right? So it's going to come within our relationships. Like, this is scary stuff, because these are the beings that hurt me in the first place. Now I'm going to begin building these relationships and start, you know, trusting some people, right, in this. And then the big one, the big dog here is the other level, is in my relationship with myself, I'm going to begin healing this. Now, one of the things about this, guys, is if a person goes directly after the gospel in their recovery, right, in their healing journey, you go right for the gospel. What does it mean? What happened at the cross? What does that mean about me? What has he done for me? You're going to experience radical transformation when, if you just focus on the gospel, you focus on what God has done for you, who he says you are, just like Darcy just listened to this podcast over and over and over, like, and there's a ton of them out there, identity sessions, these things are so therapeutic, you are going to experience some really radical transformation. If a person just goes after relief, you're only going to go so far in your recovery. So many people that come here or come to us, you know, in what we do, just want relief from what's bugging them or hurting them, and they're only going to go so far, because you do receive these doses of peace along the way, and if you stop there, you know, you're not going to go very far. So that's pretty tough, right? Okay, let me just show you an example about focusing on the gospel. 1 John 3:9, you know, the gospel points out that God, his spirit, right, God himself, he has shared himself with you as a spirit being. What comes to your mind when you hear that? Like, he has shared himself with you, right? That's really worth spending some time on. He has shared himself with you. Now, 1 John 3:9 says, his seed remains in you. Right? Now, I can tell you guys this. This is kind of blunt. But that word seed in the Greek is sperma. He has shared himself with you. Remember, God is a spirit. And in your spirit, he has shared his seed with you. Meaning, he has made you a brand new person. You have been born as something you never were before. It's called a spiritual awakening. You've become a son or a daughter. This is radical stuff when you start studying this. Now, the false self is all about ego, right? Your true self is your spirit, and it's your very essence. It's not about ego at all. It's about your very essence as a spirit being, right? Okay? Your protective personality, that false self, is always gauging itself with people. Watching people, gauging people, right? Your true self, your true identity is focused on God, your Father. What is he up to? What is he doing in the world, right? What is Jesus up to in the world? He is perhaps more active now than he was when he was on earth. Jesus right now is very, very active in the world through his Spirit. Do you know that? He says, I'm going to do greater things now. Right? What is he doing in Alaska? What is he doing in Fairbanks? What is he doing right here? Like, what is his spirit up to right now? Right? And remember, as his church, we can look at numbers, we can look at all this stuff. Jesus, as the king, I talk to him about this all the time, has a long-standing pattern of looking like he's losing when he's winning. Right? Does it look like he's losing in America right now, church? Sometimes I go outside and go, God, you're looking like you're losing. He's like, yeah, I'm really good at that. Right? You just watch him, the way he operates. Boy, he's tricky. Boy, is he humble. He is so powerful. Look out, because when you've made up your mind, he's lost. Look out, because he's pulling off some powerful victories. You know, and that is the way our God operates. Can we operate that same way? Can we work with him, right? Okay, the false self is always altering itself, making sure it's adjusting properly. Your true identity in him is timeless. You are, like, he is. This is a new I am statement, right? This is a radical I am statement about your true spirit identity. It's timeless, and it is. you are a daughter of God. You are a son, timeless. You're his. You're in another realm. Like, this is really cool stuff. Okay, understand something, guys, in the gospel message. He's not looking at you through a lens of Jesus. It's not like this thing where, you know, thank God that when he looks at me, he sees Jesus because he couldn't bear the sight of me. Thank God Jesus is standing in the way. It's not that. When he sees me, he sees his son. Yes, he sees his son when he looks at me. Remember who carries the seed. He has shared himself with me. I am a carrier of his DNA, of a new identity as a son. I'm his, right? He's not pretending you're something you're not. He hasn't given you a status that's not really real of you. Like, I'm giving you a status as holy and as righteous, but we really know the truth. It's not one of those things. It is real, and it's true, and it's now, and it's yours. He has declared you holy by birth. It's yours. This is a whole other game here, guys. This is where my recovery has taken me. He says your righteousness must exceed the scribes and the Pharisees, which means you must be righteous in the same way Jesus is. In other words, you have to be born from above, which is free, which is yours, which is here. You just take it, right? It's nothing freer than the gift of life, right? What would it be like this new identity you carry, like we put it, this little triangle, your new identity. Your new identity is infused with the Spirit of God. Him and you are one. You look just like you, and you look just like Jesus, your big brother. You look like a family member of God in the Spirit. You and him are one. This is a crazy concept, is it not? What would it be like if you had a life coach whose job was 24 hours a day to be right there with you, Ray, to constantly tell you and convince you, its one job was to convince you that you are awesome, that you are righteous and holy, and you're a priest, and you're a chosen people. What would it be like if you had a life coach that lived with you 24 hours a day, and that was its one job, was to convince you and convict you of righteousness? And that's what we have, guys. Because this new person that you are is allergic to sin. Does nothing for you anymore. Doesn't meet the need it promises. You don't need it. You don't need it anymore. Part of recovery is learning to walk that out, as painful as it is. That's a big part of it. So the protective personality is all about power and control and safety. Your true identity is compelled by love. You're motivated by love, guys. Supernatural love. In other words, you're saying you have the Spirit of God in you, which means you have a stance towards everything in the universe that is 100% love towards everything and everyone. How crazy is that? Which makes you what? Fearless. Fearless. Because perfect love, what? Anybody? You're fearless. When you're motivated by the Spirit that lives within you, your true identity, you can walk as Jesus walked, doing the best thing for everyone, which is what God does. Do you guys know that most of the prayers that don't get answered of mine are because God loves me? Right? He just loves me. He's doing what's best. Like, no, Stan, I love you, right? I'm not going to do that for you. Okay, thank God that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Let's just say here, this is just a dose of the gospel, what I'm talking about. This is what happened with Darcy as she began listening to these podcasts, listening to this identity, listening to what God has done for her as a daughter of God. It just empowers you to begin dealing with this stuff, and it's not anywhere near as painful. What if this was like a vibration, right? Let's go weird, okay? Can we go weird? Let's just say this is a vibration, like, wah, right? Let's just say that 25 megahertz is a vibrational level of damaging you. I'm saying things to Ray that are really hurtful. And I got this vibration in my intentions, and they're 25 megahertz. And when I vibrate at Ray at that level, it's traumatizing to him as a person. Let's just say. But let's just say 20,000 megahertz, that vibration is divinity and pure healing love. Understand something. Though the world comes at us in many, many ways, at 25, God is consistently and constantly and forever pouring into you 20,000 megahertz, pure, divine love. I love you. I accept you. You're mine. You are holy. You are righteous. You are forever. You are forgiven all the time. What do you think of that? Isn't that cool? Being still before him, being quiet and just recognizing this constant download that he's pouring out into us, just being with the trees and watching the breeze, thanking him, knowing that this is going on in me all the time. This leads to a humble dependence, guys, because remember something, the protective personality wants certainty. And certainty isn't about faith and dependence. So this is a real painful thing, is we pray a prayer, and we're going to be here afterwards for anyone that wants to just stay at the tables and pray with us, and we'll just do a real simple prayer of asking this protective personality, thank you, protective personality, thank you, mighty backroom unloading truck guy with the chopped off sleeves and the sweat, thank you for being there for me. You got a lot of work done for me, and you were there for me. Thank you. You did great. But I'm going to ask you to step aside. I'm going to ask this strategy of mine to fall away, as scary as it is. I'm going to ask this inner vow to break, and all of any kind of demonic or dark realm connected to that inner vow. And now I am left with, look at where I am right now, guys. I am left with, when my protective personality leaves me and I ask it to step aside, I am left with, I am inadequate. It left. My sleeves are chopped off and I'm not sweating and I have no more power or attitude and I'm gazing at the trucks. You guys see this? And guess how old my little wounded heart is now, standing there without my best buddy. I'm 10 years old. Right? So much of my recovery has been growing this guy up. I grew up here at Journey. Right? I met Dave Wilcoxon back there when he came to Fred Meyer, and I rolled up my sleeves, showed him my needle marks, and tried to run him off. And he kept showing up and showing up and showing up and began healing me on a relational level in a way that I could never repay him for what he did. Right? You guys think I was a real easy guy to sponsor? Oh, that's super easy. Began healing me on a relational level. When I began learning this, that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted and he could heal my wounded heart, I can go with this. You know, then I'm loved. And I'm compelled by love. I have this spirit in me. And it's like this rocket taking off. And you see those things that held it up just fall away as you just burst out into your true self. Right? Think I felt really vulnerable? Think I was scared? Think I called him? I'm afraid, right? And I had this part of me that now I'm responsible for that was exiled, just crammed down in there. We have exiled wounds and exiled parts that we ignore and we stuff and we keep them away that want to come out. And you know how cool it was to watch that 10-year-old part of me come out for the first time and take a look around? And for me to tell that part of me, guess what? You're worth investing in, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to invest in you, Stan. And I'm going to train you, and I'm going to grow you up, and I'm going to teach you, and you're going to heal, and we're going to do it together. Right? I don't know how old this part of me is now, but I imagine it's much, much older than that now. You put me under a lot of pressure, and we'll kind of find out what's up. And it's kind of the acid test. But he's growing up fast, and it's awesome. It's been a great journey. And I'm sorry that I kept him stuffed down in there so long and crammed him full of pills. I won't treat myself like that anymore. It's a beautiful journey, guys. So am I without protection? No, I'm not. I have the shield of faith. God is my protection. I trust him. He's going to open doors. He's going to close doors. I'm no longer in the back rooms unloading trucks. God had a completely different mission for me, completely different purpose. And just like Darcy said, that was a pretty high-level thing she said about reinstating her protective part in a new way, in a righteous way, in a holy way, because it's still part of us that stepped forward, right? So it's a really cool journey. This is part of the model that we're going over in our training, and we're just seeing marvelous stuff happen when people come to this point and see this. And all the trouble our protective parts cause us, and the joy that it keeps us from, you know, here. And that's why when someone says, I'm asking this protective part to step aside, I'm walking out with the king now, and I'm scared, but I'm dependent, we see peace. Because for the first time in their lives, they are powerful, because they're like a child. But guess who's walking with them? God. And a very weak person depending on God 100% is a very powerful person. Very. It's pretty cool. All right, so let me go ahead and say a prayer. And those of you who got to leave, go ahead and take off. And those of you who want to hang out, we'll lead you through, you know, a prayer about this. And we'll hang out for a little bit. We won't take a long time to do this, but we'll go through some a prayer over this. So let me go ahead and pray and dismiss. Father, thank you so much for the gospel that sets us free. And I just pray for freedom in your church. I pray that we wouldn't be playing games. The world oftentimes sees our protective false selves, and they don't want it. They want to see a mighty people that are vulnerable, dependent on you. Something that looks very different than what the world looks like. And you offer that very thing to us, even right now. Thank you for what you've done for us. To make us sons and daughters. We receive that very thing right now. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.